You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to Leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See Leesa.com for more details.
Hey, everybody. It's Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we're doing our own pro days. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio. We're in studio today, which means we got specialists over there. Give yourselves a round of applause. Yay! We got plenty to talk about, man. This is the time of year when there's no actual news, but somehow, Florio, we have devised a whole lot of things to talk about for the next little bit.
Yeah, I feel like March and definitely April are like, outside of the season, are probably the busiest months. And everyone's like, oh, what are you doing with all your free time? And I'm like, no, we're still in the midst of like draft season right now. Maybe after the draft.
It's funny too, because like I feel like, you know, for people close to me, family, friends, are like, yeah, this must be kind of nice. You have so much downtime. And I'm like, look, I'm not doing TV shows every day, but there's still plenty of stuff to look at, to research. I feel like I'm behind on everything. Like I dared to actually take some time off because family was in town. And now I feel like I'm like way behind.
To me, this feels like the closest to like taking the bar that I'll ever have to be, where like we're just like cramming, because I don't watch much college football during the season because the NFL takes over our lives in the season. So now it's like playing catch up, and I've been trying to watch and like research as much as possible, and I'm like, huh, lawyers do this for like months before right. They take the test. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing, except we don't have to get licensed to do what we do, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but it certainly is. We're going to start over the next few weeks kind of putting together our desires and needs for teams when it comes to the draft, where we think they should go, where they potentially may go. We'll sort of look at how many picks they have, what they're being mocked as potentially drafting, that sort of thing. So that'll be the next few weeks. Because of that, again, the film festival going on a little bit of a hiatus, just because I don't necessarily want these pods to be like 2 hours long when we're doing this. So we'll get back to that in a few weeks, probably after the draft at some point. It gives us a whole summer of movies potentially to watch. So if you were ready for us to talk about Desperado, Just hold that thought. We'll get back to that really, really soon. Today, we're going to look at the AFC and the NFC East, going to look at each of the four teams and kind of figure out where they may be going and whether or not this impacts some of their guys fantasy-wise. So let's start in the AFC. I'm doing this alphabetical order, lest you think I'm trying to, you know, pick a finishing order for whatever we're doing. So we're going to start with the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. And I promise this isn't because I'm trying to butter up Florio or anything. It just happened to work out that way.
Works fine by me.
That's all it is. The Bills this year, they have 6 total picks in the draft. They have the 27th overall pick in the first round. I went and looked up the team needs article that Dan Parr and Eric Edholm put together. You can find that on NFL.com. And according to their estimation, the Bills could use a wide receiver, defensive tackle, and a linebacker. Two of those three things don't really matter for us in fantasy football. When I looked at some of the most recent mock drafts on our site, several of the analysts we have here have them going offensive in the first round. Quentin Johnston is mocked by Daniel Jeremiah. Bucky Brooks has them taking Jordan Addison from USC. And Lance Zierlein, maybe the eye-opener, Bijan Robinson going to the Buffalo Bills. But maybe the biggest question is, and you know this team better than anybody sitting in this room right now, is it time for them to start spending some of these early round picks on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, 100%. And if it was up to me, that would be the focal point. Like, they've tried doing it the way of building up the defense for years now. Like, and for a while it was like, if we got to build up the D line, and they use picks on like Ed Oliver, and their whole D line outside of Von Miller is their big free agent signing, is picks that they use like first and second round picks on, and then every year in the playoffs it gets punched in the mouth. So invest in your best player, invest in why you are a top team, a Super Bowl contender, and that is and always will be Josh Allen, as long as Josh Allen is playing at the peak of his ability. So looking at the mock draft, Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison, Bijan Robinson, I would be happy with any of those. Bijan is the one that feels like it's not a need, it's a luxury. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, all right, we could get this workhorse running back here, but then you have a very crowded backfield. Quentin Johnston is the one that I'm most excited for if this was to work out, because I think he has the upside to be a true one at the NFL level, where I think like Addison is more of a number two. Johnston also, I think, works well because the Bills didn't really have a lot of yak guys last year. Like, Gabe Davis is more of a downfield stretcher, and Johnston is the best yak receiver in this class, I would say. So I think he fits, but I will be ecstatic if they take a running back or a wide receiver in round one rather than like a defensive lineman, which they've been doing year and year again.
I said, I was going back through their recent draft history, and you go back to 2015, so we're like nine years now. The only offensive player they have taken in the first round since then is Josh Allen. That's it. It has been very heavy on the defensive side of the ball. Now, look, they've gotten some decent players kind of in the second round. I mean, look, they got James Cook in the second round last year. I mean, Zach Moss didn't quite work out. He was a third round pick the year before. Devin Singletary, a third round pick in 2019. So they are spending some draft capital on that side of the ball, but they're certainly not really investing very heavily in there. And this isn't just because he's a USC guy. I like the idea of Jordan Addison going there because I think he's a really nice complement to Stephon Diggs. They're two guys who are very similar in the sense that, maybe more quick than fast. They win with route running. They can find ways to get open and earn targets. And when you've got a guy like Josh Allen, I think that's sort of all you want. It's just that guy that can present himself as a really nice target. They do, without a doubt, need a consistent second wide receiver. And I think you've got a guy in Gabe Davis that can be a field stretcher. He can kind of take the top off the defense, get down the field, open some things up underneath for Diggs, for whoever it is, if it's Addison, if it's Dawson Knox, and just kind of create that space in the field. But I think we learned this past year that Gabe Davis is not suited to consistently be a number two wide receiver week in and week out. Interesting you mentioned Quentin Johnston, because our pal and wide receiver guru Matt Harmon, just as you were speaking, tweeted out his reception perception profile for one Quentin Johnston. I mean, it's almost like Harmon is listening to what we're saying right now and tweets it out just as you were talking about. And I would just give you the bullet points. Very good success rate versus man coverage, but on a relatively small handful of routes. Middling results versus press coverage. Very poor against zone coverage. And the thing a lot of people have been saying is that kind of a body catcher, which is kind of a thing.
There's a lot of negatives with him, but I do think that, like, with the right coaching staff, you can mold him into a very useful receiver. But to your point of them needing a number two, last season, through like the whole second half of the season, teams were doubling Stephon Diggs, and I would like repeatedly be on Twitter like, why are you choosing not to throw the ball to your best player? You're doing what the defense wants. But teams figured out, like, if we take Stephon Diggs away, good luck. Josh Allen's now gonna have to scramble, like, because the O-line was poor, and then he's gonna have to try to find Gabe Davis or one of these secondary options. Like, another pass catcher there will go such a long way, I think.
They definitely need somebody there. I will ask you, though, do they need to at some point, you know, and it doesn't have to be early in this draft, do they need to add to their backfield? Just because it seems like there isn't any real plan there, right? We keep talking about they bring in all these guys who catch the football out of the backfield, but then they don't throw them the football. I know they're leaning on James Cook potentially this year, but do they need to add somebody there?
Like, I would love a Bijan Robinson and to have someone that you can finally be like, okay, we could take some pressure off of Josh Allen, but I don't think I'm not sure if he falls to 27, and I would be shocked if being traded up to get a running back, because their GM is always like, all the running backs to take are in the third round. I do think they'll add someone, but I think it'll be day two, maybe even day three, because I think they're going to feel better about James Cook. I think last year was about getting his feet wet and letting him kind of play that secondary role, and this is the year they want to let him go. But there's Damian Harris there, and then I think people keep overlooking that Nyheim Hines is there as well. So I don't think they have a great back or a great backfield or anything, but I do think they have depth. So I would be surprised if they did anything huge, like a big splash. Like, I would be shocked if they got Bijan or Gibbs at this point, even though a lot of people are mocking Bijan to the Bills.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that. I don't want it. So I remember a few years ago, right? We were like, the Chiefs need to get a running back. And they traded up. They traded back into the first round to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We were fired up about that. That didn't work out. Bijan is better than CEH.
Oh.
So I don't think, world. I think if the Bills decide to go that route, I don't think we'll have any sort of fear about that. Haitham Kalani makes a good point, too. A thing that Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks always talk about is if you are finding yourself as a competitive team, right? If your goal is to win the Super Bowl, you have to figure out how to keep up with the Chiefs. And that means adding pieces on offense, because defensively, nobody has found the skeleton key to lock this defense up. That means you just got to keep scoring.
And in that point, I think what the Bills have done for the last, since the 2020 AFC Championship game where the Chiefs blew the doors off of them, I think every move the Bills have made has been about beating the Chiefs. And to be honest, they've had success doing it. Like, they've beat them both times in the regular seasons the last 2 years. And then in the playoffs when they met, it was the 13-second crazy game. Like, the Bills, I think, are building this defense solely in the idea of trying to slow down Patrick Mahomes. But what we've seen is that, like, the defense with these top offenses, with the Bengals, it happened last year with the Chiefs, like, they can only slow them down to a point. And then you're asking Josh Allen to keep up with these offenses. And when, like, with the Bengals showed everything. Like, if you can limit Josh Allen, this Bills team has no chance of winning in the playoffs. So I think you need to make it as hard as possible to slow down Josh Allen. And because, yeah, I agree. I think the only way the Bills get over this hump is they're going to have to not only be able to outscore the Chiefs, but the Bengals as well.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know everybody wants to play defense, and that's important, and you got to get stops. But the way this league is going, when you're talking about the top level teams, it really is who can win the track meet, who can score more points. And for all that you want to do defensively, you know, you might have to score 40. To beat the Chiefs and beat the Bengals.
The Chiefs are doing it with a hodgepodge of nobodies at wide receiver. Like, I love Kadarius Toney, but, like, he's your one going into this season right now.
It is a grab bag of wide receivers that they got there in Kansas City. Let's look at the Miami Dolphins. They have four total picks in this draft. They do not have a first round pick. They had to forfeit it after the league found Stephen Ross guilty of game violations, integrity of the game violations. Basically, this is their punishment. So they don't have a first round pick. Their first pick is number 51 in the second round. Going back to the team needs document, offensive line, running back, tight end. So basically beefing up that offense. Defense, I think, has been pretty good over the last couple of years. I went and looked at some other second round mocks around the internet. And some of the names that sort of popped up, Kendra Miller from TCU, the running back there. Devin Ashane, I think I'm saying that right. I'm probably not. I apologize if I'm not. But the running back from Texas A&M and a tight end, Luke Musgrave from Oregon State. So a lot of suggestions that the Dolphins are going to add some pieces to this offense. Could a rookie pass catcher succeed here when you already have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle? Admittedly, Mike Gesicki is now gone. Is there room for another pass catcher in this offense?
I don't think so. I think it could be a situation, especially like if they get one of these rookie tight ends, because I know it's such a deep class, where there'll be good weeks for them, but I don't think it'll be consistent enough where for fantasy you'd be like, okay, I could trust this guy, because we know Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle pretty much are going to get close to double-digit targets each and every week. And the weeks that they don't get that many targets, it could be because, you know, Tyreek Hill broke a 60-yard touchdown. It's just less pass plays that you need, because that's how explosive these two are. So we saw last year the third option in this offense was different each week almost, but because that's the other thing with Mike McDaniel, like he's going to game plan your weakness and he's going to find it and attack it. And so I would like to see them add to this offense here to give Tua just even some more weapons around him, but I don't think for fantasy it would do a whole lot. I'm on the side thinking that they should get a running back, because Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, like those guys are really serviceable, but that's all they are, you know? And like they're also both missed time due to injuries, and you don't want it to be a situation like they had at the end of last year where like you're digging deep into your running back depth. So I would like to see them add an explosive running back, because I think someone that's fast and has breakaway speed could do a lot of damage in this offense.
Yeah. By the way, it's Devon Ashane, I have been informed. So sorry for blowing that the first time. But I was surprised in free agency hearing all this talk that the Dolphins wanted to do something big, that they wanted to make a big splash and maybe add a big name running back. Now, I know some of the wind was taken out of their sails when a lot of those names were franchise tagged, right? They immediately didn't have a shot at Saquon or Tony Pollard or Josh Jacobs. So that sort of took a lot of it out of their hands. But then to turn around and basically re-sign the guys you had, to bring back Wilson, Mostert, and Miles Gaskin, that surprised me a little bit. And so maybe it's opening the deck for them to go out and draft a guy in the second round. And I think that's potentially where we see them go. I mean, I'm looking at the targets, right? Last year, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle took 51% actually of the targets in that offense. Look, there is still room potentially for somebody to go out and maybe get another 15% in there, but it seems really, really difficult to do. Like, you really got to make yourself available. You have to be a high-level target earner. And I don't know that where the Dolphins are picking, there is that guy available. And I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of wide receivers go first round, probably early second round. When you're talking about getting to the mid to later part of that second round, I don't know that there's that guy that comes in and is immediately a big play guy. I know the scouts love Musgrave at tight end. They really like his upside, what he can be. I think, you know, you look at his sample size at Oregon State, you look at the production he had, you know, there's some nice things about it. There are also some things that, you know, are worth questioning here. It was a very deep tight end class. So it could be that running back is the place to go. If that happens, though, then how do we handle this Dolphins offense, right? We know that Mostert and Wilson are going to get touches. If they draft another rookie running back, does this mean we stay away from this backfield altogether?
I think it would be a backfield where, like, if we're talking like eighth, ninth round, maybe later, you could be like, probably in the double digit rounds even, you could be like, I'm okay taking a stab at it here and seeing what I can get. But outside of that, yeah, I wouldn't pay a cent. If it's three running backs and we're true, because last year with Mostert and Wilson, week to week was like a head scratcher. Like most weeks, Wilson played the more snaps, but Mostert sometimes would get more carries. They would split targets. It was very confusing to figure out. So if you add a third piece in here, it makes them at best flex options and probably later round picks.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it just really is not a great situation for fantasy if we're talking about a three-headed potential attack. You know, I would imagine that whoever, if they draft a running back, whoever it is going to be in competition for snaps and touches, and that's just going to be a really gross situation for us to try to monitor at any point in the offseason. The Patriots, kind of an interesting situation there in New England. 11 total picks. Their one pick in the first round comes at number 14. Their needs, they need a defensive back, they need an offensive tackle, they need a wide receiver. I sort of chuckled to myself when I saw that they needed a wide receiver because at this point, do we trust Bill Belichick to draft a wide receiver? Nope. It has been a glaring weak spot throughout his career. All the other things he's accomplished, he has not been able to scout wide receivers very effectively. Looking at some of the mocks, though, on NFL.com, Daniel Jeremiah has them taking Bijan Robinson, which sort of seems great unless you like Ramondre Stevenson, which kind of destroys both of those guys. Yep. Bucky Brooks has them taking an offensive tackle, Broderick Jones from Georgia, and Lance Zierlein has them taking Anthony Richardson from Florida. So you say no, right? Which is sort of funny. But, you know, there are rumors out there. And again, it might just be rumor. But that, you know, Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft are sort of butting heads over the future of the quarterback position and whether or not it's time to move on from Mac Jones. So maybe this is just sort of wish casting based on, you know, just sort of the rumor mill. But why are you so against Anthony Richardson going to New England?
Because everything that Bill Belichick, like, look, he's the GOAT. He's a legend. I don't want to take anything away from him. But everything he has touched since Brady left has been bad. Like, the offense has been awful. Like, I understand Cam Newton was broken down at that point and dealing with shoulder injuries. But then you showed some promise with Mac Jones. And first of all, not only do I not trust Bill Belichick to draft a wide receiver, let's look at the pass catchers that he gave a boatload of money to just a couple years ago. Jonnu Smith is now on the Falcons. Nelson Aguilar, who he made one of the highest paid receivers in that free agent class, is with the Ravens. Hunter Henry's been okay. Kendrick Bourne has been okay. Like, Bill Belichick hasn't really done a great job of building up this offense as of late.
Jacoby Myers is maybe the best in that group. He was undrafted, and he's gone.
And the only thing that makes sense to me is with what he decided to do last year with the OC, bringing in a special teams coordinator and a defensive coordinator and being like, you two figure out the offense each week, is that he probably is sick of Mac Jones already and was like, I want to make him look bad and not develop or whatever. But like, I don't feel confident that Anthony Richardson will go there and we will get the best version of Anthony Richardson. Like, I think that it fits the ground and pound style that like the Patriots wanted to do with Cam Newton, where they're controlling the ball, the clock, and they're just running the ball the whole time. But like for fantasy, there's much better landing spots for him, I think.
I will say this. If there is a silver lining to Anthony Richardson landing in New England, again, these are mock drafts. This is all speculation. But it's Bill O'Brien now being the offensive coordinator there in New England, coming back to the Patriots after kind of being all around the place for the last few years. Deshaun Watson certainly was much more of a finished product when he got to the NFL. I mean, he had played at a really high level in college. There was very little doubt that he was going to be successful in the NFL, whereas we're still sort of looking at Richardson as kind of a guy with tools that may need a little bit more refinement. Bill O'Brien could be that guy to sort of build him up there. Now, the other part of it, though, is what does he have around him? If he does go to New England, who's catching the football? What are they doing for him as pass catchers? And that still remains up in the air, which goes back to our earlier point about Bill Belichick not doing a very good job with that position. Is there a player, or should we actually be rooting for a player that we like? Say it's Richardson. Say it's Bijan Robinson. Should we be rooting for one of these guys to land there, or do we want them to stay away?
And I don't say this as like a Bills fan who watched the Patriots dominate the division for two decades, because I think those days are long gone. I do not want players I like ending up in New England. Let them take an O-lineman, a defensive player. Yeah, Bill Belichick, you still do good to work on the defensive side. Why don't you just load up on there, try to win your 7 to 9 games this year, and then let us enjoy the fun pieces of this draft, because they're going to bring Bijan there, let's say, and like, they're going to, like, it's not going to be a, hey, we're going to give Bijan Robinson 300 touches, which is what other teams, I think, will do. I think it's going to be a situation like, hey, Stevenson will get involved. We'll probably find some guy off the street to give 10 carries to in random games, because, like, we say it all the time, Bill Belichick does not care about fantasy, and the Patriots offense have made that abundantly clear in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, they really don't. They don't care. They're going to put together what they think is the best team, or the team that can most win games. It may not be exciting. It may not be interesting. I don't want Bijan there, because we want the door to stay open for Ramondre, and we want it to be open for Bijan too. You put them both in the same backfield, and that limits both of their potentials there. I don't know. The idea of Anthony Richardson is sort of intriguing, but I would need to know they're going to spend some more draft capital, some more resources to put an offense around him. And I would like for somebody not named Bill Belichick to be scouting some of these pass catchers, if that's really the case.
What about his dog?
I don't think I want his dog scouting them either. But 11 total picks, right? I mean, that means there's an opportunity to go out and get somebody, even if this isn't the deepest wide receiver draft class. There is a chance to go out and maybe take a few swings at the position. Maybe that's what they need here if they're going to really go and spend a first-round pick in the middle of the round on a quarterback. The other part of this, though, and I think this is sort of a new philosophy among NFL teams, is not being afraid to go back to the quarterback well if the guy you drafted isn't doing what you expected him to do. And I immediately think of Josh Rosen in Arizona. The Cardinals spent a high pick on him, I think number 9. If I remember right, he was going sort of Arya Stark and like was listing the names of all the people drafted ahead of him, sort of thing. That didn't work out, so it wasn't that long after that they went out and they drafted Kyler Murray. Mac Jones is better than Josh Rosen. I'll just put that out there right now. That's not really an argument.
Zach Wilson, though, another one, went second. And they 2 years in, they've given up on him.
They're giving up on him, right? And they're trying to make a move for Aaron Rodgers. And I think this is potentially what the Patriots are looking at. Remember last year, there was real talk about should Bailey Zappe take over the starting job at some point. So there is at least some discontent with Mac Jones, and maybe that's leading to this rumor that Anthony Richardson could be the guy.
I do like the way that a lot of teams, like the direction that's going in, because my philosophy was always like, if I was a GM, I guess more so would have to be the owner, because if I was a GM, I would get fired if I did this. But like my approach would be, churn and burn quarterback, like rookie draft quarterbacks, until I found a franchise guy. Like if you're just a league average quarterback, I'm going to ship you off and I'm going to try to find. Because I truly believe you can only win a Super Bowl either if you have a franchise quarterback, or everything else in your roster needs to be perfect.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I think, you know, it's like, I think franchise quarterback is the important part. I don't even think it has to be a quarterback on a rookie deal. I think it was Warren Sharp recently that put out a tweet thread about how few quarterbacks on rookie deals are actually having great success at the NFL level. You can get a couple of them here and there, but for the most part, the guys winning Super Bowls are franchise quarterbacks who are probably on their second or third contract at this point.
I think Pat Mahomes and to an extent Joe Burrow spoiled us a little bit. Like if it was that easy, everybody would do it.
Right, exactly. Last one in the AFC East, the New York Jetropolitans, they got 6 total picks. They do have a round 1 pick. It is number 13. Now, according to Dan Parr and Eric Edholm, their needs are offensive line, defensive tackle, and safety. And I would say as of this moment, as we are recording this in the morning on April 5th, they need a quarterback. Now, we assume they're going to get this done with Aaron Rodgers. But as of this moment, until it is done, they're missing something at the quarterback position. Now, the mocks for them in the first round, nothing that is immediately fantasy relevant. Daniel Jeremiah has them taking Nolan Smith, an edge rusher from Georgia. Bucky Brooks has them taking Osiris Torres, offensive lineman from Florida. And Lance Zierlein has them taking Broderick Jones, the tackle from Georgia. Do the Jets have any actual needs on offense? If they're able to get this Aaron Rodgers thing done, do they really have any needs on offense, especially at the skill position?
It's insanely wild to say about the New York Jets, but I don't think so. Like, they'd be set at quarterback with Aaron Rodgers, and they've already said Zach Wilson will be their number two. Running back, they're set with Breece Hall, Zonovan Knight, and Michael Carter. At receiver, like, Garrett Wilson is a young star. They have Alan Lazard. There's still Corey Davis there. They brought in Mecole Hardman. Maybe tight end, but I mean, I don't know. Like, I think they're comfortable with that. To me, the only thing they really need to improve upon for offense is their offensive line, especially if you're bringing in a 40-year-old quarterback. You do not want him taking hits like that. So I think they use this pick because I don't even know if they have a ton of needs on defense either. Like, the Jets are a really well-constructed team, which is probably the first time we could say that this millennium. But they're really built well. And if you put Aaron Rodgers in there, they don't have a big need outside of O-line, in my opinion.
No, they really don't. I mean, tight end is probably the place if they need a skill position guy they can maybe take a swing at. And this is the draft to do it because there are a lot of guys. I believe DJ said he has 13 guys that he has a starting level grade on. Ooh. In this draft. And that is, you know, that's a huge, huge number. I'm really trying to think because I'm not sure when the last time the Jets had a credible tight end. I mean, literally, you might be going back to the...
I don't know if they ever have.
You might be going back to the George Bush Senior administration since they have. It's been a really long time. They've just basically punted on the position. So I guess if they wanted to spend some draft capital on that, they could probably do that. But I think skill position-wise, I think they're really set. It really is just the quarterback that they got to figure out. If they do get Aaron Rodgers, are they a legit contender to win the AFC East?
Yes, to win the AFC East. I think the AFC East would be the most competitive division in football, potentially, because people keep saying, like, oh, Bills or Jets. It's like, did you guys forget how close the Dolphins were last year? And if Tua didn't get hurt, how that might have went. So, yeah, the AFC East might have three teams that could compete for playoff spots. Super Bowl contender, I would still put the Jets behind the Chiefs, Bengals, and Bills. Mm-hmm. But after that, I think they're... And the Eagles, if we're talking NFC teams as well. But after that, I think they're right in the mix.
I mean, you know, again, assuming this Aaron Rodgers thing happens, which it seems like it will, the AFC East is going to be absolutely loaded. You know, the Patriots look right now like the worst team in that division. They could still win 8 games. Yeah. You know, this year. This is going to be a brutal, brutal division, potentially. We're not done. We're halfway through with this one. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to look at the NFC East teams. Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, and Commanders. Dive into what we think they should be doing come this draft season. Stay tuned for more of that after the break here on the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors.
Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turning the page to the NFC East now, and we'll start with the Dallas Cowboys. They've got 7 total picks. They have the 21st or 26th pick, I should say, in the first round. According to Parr and Ed Holm, the Cowboys could use a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, and a tight end. Of the big three first round mocks that I took a look at on NFL.com, Lance Zierlein is the only one that has them going offensive, taking Quentin Johnston from TCU. Daniel Jeremiah has him taking Mazi Smith from Michigan, defensive tackle. And Bucky Brooks has him taking Brian Bresee, the defensive tackle from Clemson. But what is not listed in the mocks, but we know is hanging out there because Jerry is always going to Jerry. They just moved on from Ezekiel Elliott, but Jerry likes to be old school. He wants to play defense. He wants to run the rock. Could they go and take a star running back from the state of Texas and draft Bijan Robinson? And if they do, do we have to pour one out for Tony Pollard?
I 100% Jerry Jones will do this, I think, if he falls to 26. I'm not sure if he will make it that far, but let's not forget, When the Cowboys took CeeDee Lamb, their receiving core was Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Randall Cobb. And that's when people thought Cobb could still play. And they were like, the last thing this team needs is another receiver. But it fell to him, and Jerry was like, this is the best player available, and I'm going to take him. So, yeah, I would not put it past Jerry to take Bijan Robinson. But I think we'd have to pour one out for both of these running backs, at least at their current ADP. They're both going as top 10 running backs, and rightfully so, but with them on the same team, yeah, I would have struggled to have both of them be RB1s. Probably put both of them more in the like somewhere between like 10 and 50, because they're too good to put lower than like RB15 or something right. Like that. But they're not guaranteed enough work to put in the top 10. It would be really frustrating.
So, by the way, as we were talking, it's almost like people are knowing what we're talking about and helping us out here. Daniel Jeremiah just posted his updated top 50 prospects for the draft. And Bijan Robinson right now sitting at number 3 of the top 50 prospects.
I was just going to say, before anyone says, oh, don't take a running back in the first round, like, if you believe Bijan Robinson is as good as we all believe he is, I think it is super smart to take him in the first round, because then you get 5 years of him, and then you could franchise him for the smallest franchise at any of the positions, and you're getting 6-7 years out of this running back before you even have to think about giving him a second contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth talking about, and especially where they would be drafting him, right? You're talking about a late first round pick for the Cowboys. It's not like you're taking him at 12. And look, here's the thing. The scouts believe he's good enough to go that high. It's just more of a business side of football thing that's sort of keeping him down at this point. Side note, DJ has Jordan Addison as his wide receiver 1 right now.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got him 13th overall in the top 50, the first wide receiver off the board, or at least the most talented of the wide receivers in this class, I should say, according to Daniel Jeremiah in the latest top 50 that just landed on NFL.com. Another maybe more relevant question, though, outside of the Bijan Robinson thing, because that's sort of a long shot, which, side note to this, if Bijan's still on the board when the Cowboys come up, everybody's going to keep their eyes on Jerry. It's going to be like when Johnny Manziel was available and everybody knew that Jerry Jones wanted Johnny Manziel so badly. And I feel like everybody in the front office had to basically tie him to a chair and stuff a sock in his mouth so he didn't just grab the phone and scream Johnny Manziel's name. And they went offensive lineman, and that was a much better choice for them at that point. But maybe more relevant here, Dalton Schultz is gone. Could a rookie tight end actually be more of a help, at least fantasy-wise, in this offense?
I think so. I'm not going to say that, like, I've dove into the tight end class like Daniel Jeremiah has yet. I'm working my way through the position still, but everything that you hear and read about the tight ends is how deep of a class this is and how much playmakers there are here. So, yeah, there's a lot of work up for grabs because Dalton Schultz was the number two target of this offense last year behind CD Lamb. I think either a tight end or a – like, I don't love Quentin Johnson going here because he's more of an outside receiver and they have Brandon Cooks and CD Lamb. I would like to see someone who could play more in the slot and out wide, maybe as a Flowers. Jordan Addison fits that as well. But another pass catcher, whether it be someone who could play slot receiver as well or a tight end, I think will be enough to really push this offense over the top.
I'm interested to see what happens with, say, like a guy like Dalton Kincaid. If they're looking tight end, Dalton Kincaid, the guy out of Utah, doesn't really offer you much as a blocker, but is a great pass catcher. I'm still shuddering at the fact that he went for, 245 and a touchdown against USC. Ugh. I was like, I watched that game and I'm like, that's not fair that they get to play Travis Kelce on their team. I don't understand how that works. But could be a guy that sort of gives you that pass catching. Now, he doesn't, as I said, give you much as a blocker. If they do want to go tight end, Michael Mayer may be more of an all-around guy. I see the comp I saw for Michael Mayer is Jason Witten, which I'm sure would warm Jerry's heart to bring in another Jason Witten type guy to kind of run routes and be a little bit of everything for you there. I think the issue is adding a pass catcher for the Cowboys, fantasy-wise, is great for Dak Prescott. Maybe not so much for that player individually because CeeDee Lamb's going to get his. They went out and they got Brandon Cooks, so he's there to catch the football. Tony Pollard is going to get his target. So you add another pass catcher to the mix, and it's going to be hard for that player to consistently get looks. But, man, that means great things for Dak if he has that many more weapons in this offense. The New York Football Giants, who made it to the playoffs this past year, they have 10 total picks. One pick in the first round, that is number 25. They need a wide receiver. They need a lot of wide receivers. They need wide receivers in the very worst way. They could use an offensive lineman, and they could use a cornerback as well. Two of the three mock drafters I looked at have them going offensive line in the first round. DJ has them taking Joe Tippmann from Wisconsin. Bucky has them taking John Michael Schmitz, the center from Minnesota. And Lance Zierlein has them going defensive back Brian Branch, the corner from Alabama. The Giants just need a wide receiver, but they have a whole team full of slot receivers. Sterling Shepard is back. They've got Wandale Robinson. They still got Darius Slayton. They just have a ton. Actually, is Darius Slayton officially signed? I think he might still actually be a free agent.
But I know they brought in Paris Campbell and Jamison Crowder, who are both slot guys. Like,
they just have so many slot receivers.
Hodgins, for sure, is one that could play out wide. And I think they did get a deal done with
him. They do have Slayton back. He re-signed a couple weeks ago, so he is back. They need an outside receiver. Yeah. Is there one that they can easily attain in this draft?
I mean, maybe if Quentin Johnston was to fall to them, but I don't know if he makes it to 25. I also don't know if they take a receiver at 25. I could see them more going with the secondary crop, maybe like a Jalin Hyatt, who is someone who could win downfield, be a field stretcher for them, who I've recently fallen in love with the idea of him ending up on the Chargers. But I don't know if they'll do it in the first round, go for a wide receiver. I would more so think they might load up maybe a second and third round receiver or something like that. Because at 25, there's a chance that the four top receivers could all be off the board already.
You mentioned Jalin Hyatt to the Chargers. I've seen that mocked in a few places. And that's another one that I think is great for the Chargers. Not so much for Hyatt's fantasy value because there's just a lot of targets to sort of deal with there. Yeah, you're right. I don't think they spend that first round pick on a wide receiver because I think a lot of the guys that could potentially be difference makers for them are going to be gone and will probably still be around in the second or third round. Maybe a guy like Cedric Tillman, although I've started to see more buzz about him potentially moving up draft boards, the wide receiver out of Tennessee. I just don't know because this isn't the deepest class. We've had a lot of really deep draft classes over the last few years. This one isn't that. So it could be that maybe you wait until day two and you try to take that swing at a wide receiver. But I do think it's something they have to try to figure out because right now They got a whole bunch of slot receivers and Darren Waller. Like, that's it. That's all they got.
That's why I love Darren Waller right now. So many targets are going to go his way.
So many targets. Darren Waller, I saw our pal Derek Brown, D-Bro, who says Darren Waller is his number two tight end right now, behind Travis Kelce.
The trade happened, and I came on the network, and because that was like one of the big moves. They were like, all right, let's talk about this for fantasy. And I was like, he's back to being a top five tight end, and I thought that was maybe a little spicy. Nope. I don't know if I have him tight end two. I will say I think he's in this. Obviously, one is Kelce. After that, I think Waller deserves to be in the discussion. I don't know if I would quite have him at two, but to me, he's in that second tier.
I think he sort of fits in that, you know, that Andrews, Kittle, Hawkinson. I think he's sort of in that group there.
Pitts.
Yeah, we're going to say it. We're going to keep saying it. You know, I'm waiting for all the casuals to log back in and be like, you guys are talking about this dude still? Like, get him out of our lives.
Anytime I tweet something positive about Pitts, it's like, why will you not let this go? And I'm like, trust me, he's a good player.
He's actually good. He's actually good. He's just in a bad situation. The Philadelphia Eagles, your defending NFC champions. Six total picks, including two in the first round, because Howie Roseman continually fleeces all the other GMs around the league. They got the 10th pick in the draft, which they acquired from the New Orleans Saints, and they have number 30. This team is very good offensively. Needs safety, a defensive lineman, and maybe a running back, but that is way down the list. So the mocks here, Daniel Jeremiah has them going Lucas Van Ness, an edge rusher at the 10th pick, and another edge rusher from Kansas State, Felix Anudike Uzoma, at the 30th pick. Bucky Brooks has them going defense with both picks. Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia. Mozzie Smith, the defensive tackle from Michigan. And Lance has them going offensive lineman, Peter Skoronski, the O lineman from Northwestern. And an edge rusher, Keon White from Georgia Tech. So does Bijan fit here? Does he fit in Philadelphia?
100% he does. But I think this is the pie in the sky, like hope. And I'm seeing a lot of people, I mean, it's no surprise. Everyone's like, oh my God, if Bijan was on the Eagles, he'd be the RB1. And it's like, yeah, I don't disagree. But I don't know if Howie Roseman is going to do that at 10. And I don't know if Bijan makes it to 30.
He's definitely not going to do it at 10.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to make it to 30. And I don't think Roseman is going to trade up to get him. Bijan would thrive here. But the thing is, the Eagles lost O-linemen. They lost pieces from that defense. I think they're going to use those picks to build up those areas, because no offense to Bijan, I think when you have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, most running backs can succeed. So I am super excited to see what Rashad Penny, when healthy, could be for this team. They like Kenny Gainwell, they like Boston Scott, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were, because this running back class is pretty deep as well, it wouldn't surprise me if they grabbed a running back on day two or day three rather than taking Bijan. But obviously, I think Bijan to the Eagles would be amazing for fans.
Yeah, and I should sort of rephrase what I said, because Bijan fits anywhere. I mean, I think right? Like I said, does he fit in Philadelphia? Yes, he does. He fits pretty much everywhere. So that's maybe not the thing, but does it make sense? And I don't know that it does, just because of where the Eagles are drafting and what some of their other needs are and what they currently have, because I do think they're very interested to see what they have in Rashad Penny. They sort of like the supporting pieces around him. So I could see them maybe taking a swing at it sometime late in the second day, maybe sometime in day three, see if they take a shot at a running back there. I wouldn't expect that they're going to do a lot of big moves offensively in this draft. I mean, they have all the things they need. They were in the Super Bowl. You know, they just ran up on, you know, the guy who could end up being the greatest quarterback of all time, and they lost. So there's really no shame. I don't think there's anything that they really need to change significantly from what they've done last year. So I don't imagine they're going to add any pieces that become immediately fantasy relevant come in 2023.
They're in a place though where they're going to, like, they've already paid A.J. Brown, but they're going to have to pay Jalen Hurts, and rumors are he's going to ask for $50 million a year. They're going to have to pay Devonta Smith. So I think taking a running back when you're going to have that much already, like, it's a luxury that they're going to see better use for those picks.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the point with the Eagles. Last one here, the Washington Commanders. They have 8 total picks, 1 in the first round. It is number 16. Their needs are a corner, an offensive lineman, and a tight end. And to that point, Daniel Jeremiah has them taking Dalton Kincaid, the tight end out of Utah. Bucky Brooks has them taking Joey Porter Jr., the corner from Penn State. And Lance Zierlein has them taking Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle from Ohio State. The interesting part of this whole thing is, I think, you know, they've got some good wide receivers. They got Terry McLaurin. I like Jahan Dotson. They have Curtis Samuel. They've got some nice pieces at wide receiver. Their running backs aren't awful. I mean, Antonio Gibson can show that he can still play a little bit. Brian Robinson looks like he can be something. But right now, they're going into the season looking at a quarterback battle of Jacoby Brissett and Sam Howell. Now, Ron Rivera says he's cool with that. I think the rest of us are kind of like, really, dog? Really?
His job's on the line.
His job's on the line. Like, I don't think I want to trust that to Jacoby Brissett or Sam Howell. That's just me. Do they have to make a move for a quarterback at some point in this draft?
I guess they don't have to, because they could be telling themselves that they're cool with seeing what Sam Howell is. I think the front office might be more cool with doing that, taking a long approach rather than Ron Rivera, whose job very well could be on the line if the Commanders don't make the playoffs this season. The issue is at 16, maybe Hooker falls to them and that's it. Like, I think the other four quarterbacks are all gone. So they'd have to either trade up. I continue to say I think the play for them would be to trade for Lamar if you're trading up at that point. But they are a sneaky team to me. I think that if any of the teams were to jump into the top 10, maybe three, maybe with the there's a lot of spots in the top 10 you could jump, because like 5 and 6 could both be up for grabs potentially with Seattle and the Lions. So the Commanders have opportunities to jump back in that top 10 and get a quarterback. If there's one that they like, I think they are a sneaky team to make that move.
If you're Ron Rivera, if you're the front office in Washington, and you know that, you know, the seat is getting hot, right? Do you take a guy like Hendon Hooker and sort of use that as a way to buy yourself another year? You know, he suffers the ACL injury midway through last season. There are reports that he could be ready to go potentially by week one of this upcoming year. But, you know, that means he's not going to get that much time to maybe work. He's still going to sort of be rehabbing. He's not going to be 100% healthy. But if you decide that, hey, we're going to take a chance on this guy, admittedly, he will, I think, be 25 by the time the season starts. He's going to be an older rookie. Do you take that shot and say, hey, look, this is our guy. Give us another year to see if we can develop him. You know, you put him up there as a guy to compete with Brissett, to compete with Howell, and say, hey, you know, we think he could give us some really usable seasons, but this year is sort of a redshirt year for him as we try to get him up to speed and get him healthy again. I know it sounds cynical, but it sort of solves your quarterback issue, at least in the short term. And if you're a head coach, maybe buys you one more year to try to put things together.
If I'm Ron Rivera, I'm going to sit there and be like, okay, so you want me to use the 16th overall pick this year on a quarterback, like you said, who's going to redshirt, who is 1 year and 6 days younger than Lamar Jackson. I would be like, no, let's turn this 16th pick and next year's first into Lamar, and let's go. Because if you're talking about Hooker, yeah, I do think a team's going to take him in the first round to get that fifth year of control on him and let him redshirt his freshman year. But he's older. He's in a system that struggles to translate to the NFL. Like, at that point, I don't see any way you could convince yourself that that is a better use of the asset rather than trading it for a quarterback who is, again, 1 year and 6 days younger, older, and already has a bunch of NFL experience and an MVP and we know could play at this level. Like, I get it. I get the line of thinking. But to me, if I was Ron Rivera, I would just continue to be like, why would we go this route when we could go this much safer route and put us in a chance to win a Super Bowl?
I mean, which, again, brings us back to our point that from a couple weeks ago. Why are people more interested in Lamar Jackson? I don't understand.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense to me. A 26-year-old former MVP who can still play at a high level and seems like nobody wants him. I will live, hopefully, a much longer life, and I don't know that I'll ever be able to figure out the answer to that one. Who knows? There you go. That's our look at the AFC and NFC East. So we are off and running with our draft coverage. Side note, we are going to attempt to get some other draft analysts in here. Hopefully, we're able to maybe talk to Lance Zierlein. I don't know. Maybe we can even try to do a move the sticks crossover event or something like that. I don't know. I'm putting it out in the atmosphere.
That would be
a
lot of fun.
Right? It'd be a lot of fun. See if we can make that happen. I'm just putting it out in the atmosphere and seeing if maybe the scheduling gods allow something like that to happen. And then, you know, the draft is coming, starting on April 27th. We're going to do a little bit of extra content for that as well. Maybe give you a day one recap pod, and then we'll recap the whole thing, of course, the week after that. So stay tuned. We got plenty on tap as we get close to the NFL's onboarding process when they hire some new employees. So we'll let you know all about that. In the meantime, feels like a good place to set this one down for the day. We appreciate you hanging out with us as you always do and as we always do. So that'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. He's Mike. I am Marcus. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. And we'll talk to you next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.